congregation please rise in our entrance hymn? It's the hymn that my father used to sing all over the house. And I think of my father every time. Hymn number 614, There's a Balm in Gilead, one of my father's favorites. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise with the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 876, verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Hymn 876, Let the Whole Creation Cry, verses 1 and 3 only.
The first reading for today is from Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15 through chapter 6, verse 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their distress, they will beg my favor. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is God who is torn, and God will heal us. God has struck down and got up. After 2 days, the Lord will revive us. On the third day, the Lord will raise us up, and that we may live before the Lord. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. God's appearing is as sure as the dawn. God will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love, mercy, and not sacrifice. The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today for the psalm, I will read it rather than reading it responsively. The psalm for today is chapter 50, verses 7 through 15. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify again. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every wild animal of the forest is mine, the castle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all that is in it is mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading for today is Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distress made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised. Therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel for today, the second Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth. And Jesus said to Matthew, follow me. He got up and followed Jesus. And as Jesus sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard this, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, 8th chapter. Let us pray at this time of preparation for the sermon. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer.
Amen.
One theologian says it this way, and I quote him because he says it better than I can. By calling Matthew into the community of disciples, and by eating with Matthew and other tax collectors, Jesus reorders social and communal relationships by including the excluded. That's important. In doing this one thing, Jesus includes the excluded. And most people who are included to begin with don't like that. Theologian goes on to say, tax collectors were outcasts among the Jewish people because they were seen as collaborators with Roman imperial authorities, the occupation from Rome. They were Jewish people who not only collected taxes for Rome, the foreign occupation, but also made their margin of profit by collecting more money than was legally due, increasing their own personal wealth. They took off the top. Considered disloyal and traitorous, they were despised and shunned by most other Jewish people. End of quote. When I first moved here 15 years ago, we were in the season of Matthew, and I talked all about the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and the sinners. And finally, the three women who were working in the tax office at Power County Courthouse, who would sit in these pews every week, said to me, "Pastor, do you know what we do for a living?" I said, "No, I don't." "Well, we're tax collectors." I said, "Well, welcome to the club, tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners." And that got me a joke every time I went into the office to talk to them. We used to talk about that. And then, I shouldn't say this because women and children are present, but we decided if they were the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and the sinners, I was the pimp. There you go. And I threatened some Halloween to wear a big purple hat with a big purple feather and big shoes, like all of those people did in the 1970s and early 80s. I never did that. But we would laugh and laugh. Jesus here is including the excluded, especially the tax collectors, in today's lesson. And you've heard it from me for 15 years now. Jesus gets in trouble all through the Gospels because of one thing. The most important thing, who he eats with. How dare he eat collectors, prostitutes, sinners, and pimps? Who does he think he is, the Son of God? Jesus includes the excluded with forgiveness and mercy and steadfast love. The oompa-pa is this is not just a 2,000-year-old story, folks. There are people in the world today and people in American Falls today that are angry because Jesus is eating with you. ELCA Lutherans, who do they think they are? You've heard the rhetoric on the internet and the Google machine. God doesn't like them. They're too liberal. They're too inclusive. They're too whatever, fill in the blank. There are people in our town of American Falls, Rockland, Aberglude, Pingree, Pocatello, who do not think that Jesus should be eating with you. And I'm pointing to all of you in the pews. The fact that you are here today means that Jesus shouldn't be eating with you. But even beyond that, not only is Jesus eating with us today, not only at coffee about in worship, he's feeding us with his body and blood. That's even more of a heresy for some people. Who do they think they are? Those St. John Lutheran people and those ELCA people. That Jesus not only is eating with them, but he's feeding them at table. And then, finally, Jesus and God is blessing you. And they don't think that's right either. You shouldn't be blessed by God. Not you. Same thing that they said 2,000 years ago about the tax collectors. These poor Hebrew men that were making their livelihood in the taxes for Rome, Yes, maybe they were taken off the top, where that was their, what's the word I want? That was their, not margin, that was their, yeah, that thing. Okay? That was their income. That's how they made a living. That's the world they lived in, whether they thought it was right or wrong. And Jesus welcomed Matthew at the table, and the others also, the prostitutes, the sinners, and the people of all kind. It's not a 2,000-year-old story, folks. It's still today. Who are included and who are excluded? You don't have to be in high school to understand that. You don't have to be in a seventh grade locker room, boys or girls, to understand that. Whenever people are backstabbing that, I would say, it sounds like a seventh grade girls' locker room. Yep. Who was included and who's excluded? And even you guys know what that means. Jesus goes on to quote the prophet Hosea. Jesus knew his Bible really, really, really well. Like my confirmation students know the Bible really, really well. And Jesus quotes the prophet Hosea by saying, God says, I desire steadfast love, mercy and compassion, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. I don't care what you put in the offering plate. God doesn't care either. What God wants is relationship with you. God wants to be in relationship with you. God loves you. And he wants you to love him back. But that takes a lot of work. That's why I'm an old bachelor. I don't work that hard to be in a relationship. It's called marriage. Ha! Who has time for that? I work in the church. My Roman Catholic brothers understand that. Yeah? There's no time for a wife and six kids, a dog and a cat. It takes work to be in a relationship. It takes work to love one another, whether it's boyfriend or girlfriend, husband or wife, father, mother, child. Friend, it takes work. God desires steadfast love, grace, mercy, compassion, not sacrifice. The knowledge of God, which is a fancy way of saying to be in relationship with God, to know God, and to be known by God. GPS. How many of you, be honest now, use GPS? Raise your hand. Ooh. Yeah, you're with me. Some of you are here. Yeah. I've got GPS on my phone. iPhone 8, old one, not 14 or 18 or whatever. Thanks to Pat TD in the back row. iPhone 8, yeah. We can text back and forth. I got GPS on my iPhone. I've got GPS in my car. When I bought my car, Irene Day was still alive. She got in to go for a ride. We went to lunch. She goes, you've got a TV in your car. I don't know how to use it or anything, but yes, I do. There are no knobs. I was lost a month ago in Pasco, Washington. I drove around, I was on the wrong side of the streets and the tracks. Drove around and around for 45 minutes looking for the convention, the assembly. Maxine and Marion laughed when I finally got to them and said, well, okay. I got lost in my own hometown of Bend, Oregon. That's how it's changed in 40 some years. I go visit my mom once a year, whether I want to or not, right? They keep changing the roads. How dare they? And driving in from Pasco, Washington to Bend, Oregon, I got lost. The man that I buried a month ago, a good friend of mine after 28 years, Dr. Shannon Harrison, fought two tours in Vietnam, had two tours in Africa working with AIDS patients. A physician when we lived in Jackson Hole together, for 8, 10, 12 years, whatever it was. Way back when GPS wasn't in your car, and it wasn't on your phone, and you paid like $300 or $400 for a little box for your dashboard, he got one. Because he was that kind of guy. He was a doctor and he liked technology. First computer, first everything. He got a little GPS thing for his dashboard. And I went to visit him way back then. In Spokane, Washington. We were going out to dinner, and he programmed the GPS for the restaurant we were going to. And then he made the wrong turn. And the woman on the GPS box started yelling at him. No, go back, turn right, not left, blah, blah, blah.
And he kept making the wrong turn. Correct, autocorrect. No, 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 turn left now, you know?
The old I Love Lucy thing with her husband, you know?
Turn right now, left.
Yeah?
And finally, 5 minutes of this, listening to this box squawk at him, I said, Shannon, his name, I said, Shannon, why in the heck do you have the GPS when you don't listen to it? He goes, because it's not my wife. And she was sitting in the back seat. I thought she was going to kill us both. And he meant it. He liked to be in power and control, right? He knew how to get to the restaurant. He knew all the back roads to the restaurant. My father, I just quoted this to a friend of mine, Raymond Cates. My father used to drive 3 miles out of his way so he wouldn't have to stop at the stop sign. He knew all the back roads. He didn't want to have to stop at a stop sign and wait for someone else. So he went 3 miles out of his way to just go home from church. So he wouldn't have to stop at the stop sign. Shannon was the same way. He didn't need GPS. But he loved having this woman yell at him and say that he was going the wrong direction. The same thing's happening in Hosea and with the people of Israel do not want to listen to God. The people of Israel are not critical about who their navigator is in faith and religion, or who and what voice they might listen to. And so they've gone off course. They were listening to the gods of Babylon and Assyria. They were listening to all these telemarketers and televangelists, right? May he rest in peace, Pat Robertson. They were listening to all the wrong voices in these foreign countries. And they didn't care because they got instant gratification for it. They felt really good. And God said, no, 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 no. I'm in it for the long term. I'm in it for the 50 or 60 year anniversary of our marriage together. I'm not just looking to date you for a couple of weeks or months. I want you to know me and me to know you for the long haul. GPS, Global Positioning System. This week, I decided to rename it. GPS is God Provides Salvation. Not bad. Now, kind of, yeah, Marta's giving me the thumbs up, okay. Because I'm a lot like Shen. I don't look at my phone. I look at a map. That's why I got lost in Pasco and I got lost in Bend. I had an old 1995 map. And the roads have been changed. I like a map. I'm a visual person. I'm not an auditory person, okay? I'm visual. I like visual things. So if I look at a map, I know which direction I'm going. I love when they put compasses in cars. When my compass broke in my VW Beetle, I went to Delane Anderson, can you fix this? And he looked at me and went, no. I said, but I need it. I need to know which direction I'm going in, because I'm terrible at directions. He goes, no, that's a factory thing. You'd have to get rewired. The people of Israel do not want to listen to God. They don't want to be in a long-term relationship with God. And they're not critical about who their navigation of faith is coming from. Or who they listen to, and they've gone off course. We often go the wrong way. I've been known, don't ever tell anybody this, it's between you and me. Center Street and, is it Clark? Those two one-way streets, you know, coming off the east. I've been known late at night coming back from a concert at ISU to go the wrong way on one of those one-way streets. You find out really fast, you're going the wrong way. Oops! It's all about God provides salvation. Not Baal, not Assyria, not Babylon, not these foreign countries. One theologian I talked to, I read about, said GPS is not global positioning system, it's guiding principle system. What is your guiding principle system? God, you know? We're in church, right? Every answer is God or Jesus. But often we go the wrong way. A one-way street. And that's where Israel was thousands of years ago. And Hosea was saying, God loves you. And God wants you to love him back. And that's what Jesus is saying too. He quotes Hosea, for God says, I desire steadfast love, mercy, grace, and compassion, not sacrifice. and the knowledge and relationship with God. What is your GPS? Amen. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Unite us with all those in the margins of life and society, that the whole world recognizes that your mercy and steadfast love is greater than our human capacity to ignore one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God,
God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Tend forests and farmlands. Safeguard cattle, birds, and all wild animals. Preserve lakes, rivers, and oceans, and send rains to water the drought-stricken earth. Revive all creation suffering and recovering from natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. Awaken in our leaders compassion, steadfast love, and mercy for all people who have felt forgotten or neglected. Inspire solutions that promote equity and inclusion. Heal divisions between nations of the world and our own nation, that we might respect one another and live in peace. Take from us all hatred, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Your steadfast love, compassion, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those we name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and a new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we ever can ask or imagine. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord.
Also,
you may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the second Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Chuck Strom, Pat Chase, Roy Ruff. Happy anniversary to Mike and Becky Salisbury. The Synod Assembly reports are available to be picked up off the usher's table in the narthex. Interested. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin, or corrections or additions to the ones found there?
Since my Synod report is not laying out on the table, because I've been reminded three times, as Pastor told me, and he only reminds three times, and I forgot once again, I will do it this morning. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to attend the Northwest Conference. It was really interesting, and it was a very rewarding experience. Most of the business was all done on Saturday with the voting and the elections of the other council members and things that we voted on, and the resolutions. But besides those, there were many slideshows and presentations on the Bega Quabega side by side that are done throughout the world. It was really heartwarming to see the kindness and the goodness spread throughout by the Lutherans, everything from quilts to diapers. The day was closed with a short but rewarding church service, and I encourage any of you who have the opportunity to attend a conference to do so. It was very rewarding. Thank you.
I invite the Communion Assistants and Acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our Easter offertory hymn is hymn 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possession. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, compassion, and mercy. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving found on page 144. In the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give praise and thanks to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen. We remain stand here and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymn. Thank you.
blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Praise to you, O God of mercy, thanks to you ever. Raising high, O weak and lowly, thanks to you forever. From all to love and sorrow, thanks to you forever. Truth and justice you have taught us, thanks to you forever.
Hymn number 886, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.